Worry, worry, worry. We all have anxieties and worries and fears. We worry, we become anxious about the future, about our finances, about our health, about potential failures at work, at school, in relationships. As I was studying this week, I reflected back to my high school days. Don't know why I was doing that, but I was. And I thought of the fears and the anxieties that characterize teenagers. And many of them are carried over into our youth. I remember speech class. I died on speech class days. It's amazing I didn't have a cardiac arrest. But all of the things associated with that, and you know, for many of us, those things are very present today too in some form. There are so many causes, potential causes for worry, aren't there? Our modern society increasingly disintegrating, coming apart, increasingly lawless, violent, governments unstable, fragile, which contributes to this growing sense of fear and anxiety and worry and powerlessness and just kind of lost in it all. Worry is distracting. Worry is debilitating. Worry is destructive. Corrie ten Boom wrote once, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." That's very true. If the devil can keep us bound up in anxiety and worry, then we're going to be distracted from what we're really all about and why we're here as believers. Untold millions of dollars, yea, billions, are spent each year for the treatment of the physical and emotional effects of worry and anxiety and fear. Pharmaceuticals, drugs, psychiatrists, we live in the age of anxiety. I heard about a church bulletin. This was actually written down. It said, quote, in the church bulletin, "Don't let worry destroy you. Let the church help." I thought they could have worded that a little better, I think. But it's a serious matter. In fact, according to the Bible, worry is sin. Now, we don't think of it that way. As Jerry Bridges writes in his book, Respectable Sins, subtitle, Confronting the Sins We Tolerate, he has a chapter on anxiety. Because indeed, anxiety is not just something that characterizes us. According to the Bible, it is sin. It is sin. And if you're like me, you will confess this morning that we have more worries and more anxieties than we are even aware of. And we don't recognize it as sin. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, he said that it would be just as inconsistent for him to worry as it would be for him to use profanity. So, let's just admit we're all fellow strugglers today. We're all in this together. We all have certain fears and worries and anxieties that trouble us. And Jesus knows that. He knows that we wrestle and we struggle with worry. That's why all of these verses, do not be anxious, verse 22. Verse 26, why are you anxious? Jesus recognizes that. We deal with that. But he also is going to tell us how to deal with it. Last week, if you were here, we studied the verses preceding where we are today. And Jesus, in those verses, warned about the sin of greed. In verse 15, he said, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." Beware Be on your guard against every form of greed. Greed is the sin of wanting more. And then Jesus talked to them about laying up treasure, not on earth, but in heaven. Look at verse 21. So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so now, beginning in verse 22, as Jesus talks, notice, to his disciples, Jesus has said, don't lay up treasure on earth. Don't just covet and pile up a mound of stuff. You need to be generous. You need to be laying up treasure in heaven. And so the disciple would say, but what if I step out in faith? And what if I really begin laying up treasure in heaven and really beginning to give generously? Will I have enough for myself? Will I have enough to take care of me? And then so Jesus deals now with the sin not of greed, but the sin of worry and anxiety over material things. And will there be enough? Both sins, the sin of greed and the sin of worry, stem from the same root cause, and that is lack of trust in God. Lack of trust in God. So we look at Jesus' words this morning. We'll look at the causes of worry, or some of the causes of worry, at least that are in this text, the causes of worry, and then we'll look at the cure for worry. Let's notice, first of all, the causes of worry in this teaching of Jesus. Now, these aren't all the causes of worry and anxiety, but they're some of the basic causes. And the first one is this. Worry happens when we focus on material things. Worry happens when we focus on material things. Verse 22, he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Jesus said to his disciples, those who were his followers, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. That is a command. That is in the imperative mood in the original. It's a command. Look at verse 26. Jesus says, why are you anxious? And then in verse 29, do not keep worrying. Another imperative, another command. Do not keep worrying. So, when we are anxious, when we are worrying, we are out of the will of God. We are disobeying a command of God. We are not trusting in Him. Paul said the same thing, Philippians 4:6, right? Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Peter, the apostle, says the same thing. Well, we would expect this. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care, the King James says. Cast all your anxiety. Same word that Jesus uses here about anxious and anxiety. Don't be anxious. Cast all your anxiety upon Him, upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. So on the one hand, the Lord here is recognizing that we, His followers, we wrestle with worry. We wrestle constantly with anxiety and fears like this. Thus, all these admonitions. Do not worry. Do not be anxious, because He knows we are so often. But on the other hand, we must see and not just say, well, that's, you're right. That's what we are. That's what I am. That's what I do. No. We must see worry as displeasing to God. Displeasing to God. It's a lack of faith. We're not trusting Him. And unbelief is a serious sin. But worry happens when we are self-focused rather than God-focused. Specifically, when we're focused on material stuff. When we're focused on what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Will there be enough? Will we have enough? And Jesus says here, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. These are basic physical necessities, but they're not ultimately what life is about. Look at verse 23. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. As we said earlier, In verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Today's culture proclaims just the opposite message, doesn't it? Madison Avenue, the culture says, no, life really does revolve around what you own. Life really does revolve around what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. You need to have this, you need to have that to really live. This is dating me, but that old ad, you only go around once. You need to grab all the gusto you can get. And I guess advertising a beer, an alcoholic, really? Is that really what life is? You only go around once, so grab all the gusto you can get. Without it, you're missing life. How foolish. The world says your significance, your security is derived from material things. Fine dining, fine clothing, etc. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Man shall not live by bread alone. We need bread, we need clothing, we need shelter. "But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Real life is found in knowing God. It's in trusting and obeying Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, you are worried, you are anxious, you are troubled. Why? Because of where your focus is. When you are anxious, beloved, when you are worried, when you are troubled, you're concerned, you're stewing over things, you're fretting, do a heart check. You will find that you are focused in some way in the wrong place. You're focused on the wrong things. We've stopped trusting in God. We've stopped believing His promises. So worry happens, first of all, when we are focused on material things. We're focused on the things of this world. Secondly, worry happens when we forget our Heavenly Father's care. And we're forgetful people. Worry happens when we forget our Heavenly Father's care. Verses 24 through 27, Jesus gives two illustrations from the natural world, and they're beautiful, but He gives two illustrations from the world of nature to show why worry is silly when worry is totally out of place for the child of God. One of His illustrations pertains to food and the other to clothing. Verse 24, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds." Consider the ravens. Jesus may have pointed to a flock of ravens, if that's what you call a bunch of ravens, a flock. Anyway, they're over there pecking at seeds. Jesus says, consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. Ravens and their little cousins, the crows, they're not many people's favorite birds. Ravens are scavengers. They squawk they loudly squawk. They're not attractive. In fact, Leviticus 11:15, they're unclean birds. Leviticus 11 says they're detestable. They're abhorrent. And yet, God feeds them. Job 38, verse 41, "Who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God and wander about without food?" And notice verse 24, God provides for them. God feeds them even though they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And then Jesus says, how much more valuable you are than the birds. Why do you worry? If you're going to have enough to eat, if you're going to be provided for. If God cares for the birds, ravens no less, then He will take care of you. Now, this doesn't mean because Jesus said, look at the ravens, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. And some would say, oh, don't have to work. God will provide. No, that isn't what the point is here. Birds work very hard, frankly, for their food and shelter. But God feeds the birds by providing the means for them to have their food. He provides the seed for them and so on. Birds don't worry about their next meal, I'm quite convinced. They gather till they have enough, and then they go about whatever else birds do until the next meal. That's how God provides for them. The same principle applies to humans, to you and me. God gives us the ability to plan, to work in order that our needs be taken care of. But God will provide. That's His promise. He sustains the birds during their time on earth. He will do the same for you and me. It's pointless. It's illogical, frankly, to become anxious about what God has promised to provide. Someone said, birds don't worry. They sing. They illustrate what we should know and how we ought to live. We should be free from worry over material things. Someone wrote a little nursery rhyme. Goes like this. Said the raven to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the raven, friend, I think that it must be. They have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. That'd be a good one to learn. That'd be a good one to memorize. It'd be a good one to teach your children or your grandchildren. Jesus says in verse 25 as He continues, and which of you by being anxious, which of you by worrying can add a single, now my translation says cubit because that's in the original Greek, it's the word cubit, yours probably says can add a single hour to his lifespan. The old King James says, which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit, which was 18 inches, which of you can add a single cubit to his height? Because the word there could be translated height, how tall you are, or your lifespan, how long your life is. Either one. It could be translated either way. Most now translate it, which of you can, by worrying, can add a single hour to your lifespan? Many people would like to be taller. A lot of people would like to be taller, but no amount of worrying could ever add an inch or a cubit, much less an inch, to their height. All the worrying won't make that happen. On the other hand, many people would like to have something added to their span of life. They'd like to have something added on. And Jesus says, no amount of worrying will ever make that happen. In fact, worrying may cut your lifespan. Because of the negative effects of worry, physically and emotionally, spiritually. So Jesus says in verse 26, if then you cannot do even a very little thing, like even adding a little bit to your height or a little bit to your lifespan, why are you anxious about other matters? Things over which you have no control. You know, most of what we worry about, would you agree, most of what we worry about never happens. Someone said, quote, I've had many troubles in my life, most of which I have never experienced. Philip Ryken writes, quote, what a sad waste it all is. Worry shrivels the soul, robbing our joy, leaving us ill-equipped to face the spiritual and emotional challenges of each new day. Few things are as discouraging to our spirit or as destructive of our contentment or as detrimental to our witness as the anxious worries of a troubled heart. Unquote. So Jesus says in verse 26, why are you anxious? Why are you anxious? Why do you worry? We're focused on material things. We've forgotten the care of our Heavenly Father. He cares for the birds. And then in verse 27, Jesus gives a second illustration. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. For if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Now, the word lilies there is not a reference to a specific species of flower, but it was a general term for all the flowers. And there, as Jesus was teaching, perhaps again, consider the lilies. Consider all these beautiful wildflowers over the hillsides of Galilee. Consider them. Despite the brief lifespan of the flowers, God makes them beautiful. They're here just a short while. They neither toil nor spin. They don't work for their clothing. They just grow. They just grow. They don't spin, that is, they don't spin cotton or yarn into thread. Cotton or wool, rather, into yarn or thread to make clothing. They simply wear what God has given them. Again, the lesson for us is not don't work, but don't worry. Don't fret. God will provide for your needs. And Jesus says, look at the flowers. Consider the lilies. Even Solomon, King Solomon, probably the most lavishly dressed man in all of Israel's history, could not compare to the splendor and the beauty of flowers that God created. And flowers have such a short lifespan. Why does God make them so beautiful? Because God is a God of beauty. Because He's a God of variety. Because He's a God of creative wonder and splendor. And oh, we wish sometimes flowers would last, but they don't. Roses, lilies, wildflowers, they bloom for a while and then dry up. And in Jesus' day, then they became fuel for the furnace or fuel for the oven for baking. Verse 28 says, but if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more? How much more will He clothe you? If God clothes these flowers, these lilies, these wildflowers with such radiant splendor, and they're only here but a short while, how much more? How much more will He clothe you, O men of little faith? You who are the objects of my love and you who will live forever, how much more will He clothe you? In Jesus' day, most people had few garments. A good cloak was a prized possession. And yet Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. Probably didn't have even a closet in their homes. And what would Jesus say to us in our day? I mean, we're so blessed. We're so prosperous. All of the clothing, it just boggles your mind, right? The variety. What's available? Fairly reasonable if you choose to go that route. Our closets are full, and yet we're anxious. Oh, I don't have anything to go with that top or those pants, or that doesn't match. Oh. Jesus says to people who had very, very little, don't worry. Don't become anxious. Whenever we see, beloved, a beautiful bouquet, whenever we see a field of wildflowers, it ought to instruct us. We should be reminded of God's promise to care for us and maybe to rebuke us for our worry and our anxiety. Martin Luther said this, quote, Martin Luther wrote, the flowers stand there and make us blush and become our teachers. Thank you, flowers, you who are to be devoured by the cows. God has exalted you very highly that you might become our masters and teachers, unquote. Luther wrote some pretty earthy things. Thank you, flowers. You are our instructors. You are our teachers. You even rebuke us. What happens, worry happens when we focus on material things, when we forget our Heavenly Father's care. Thirdly, worry happens when we have little faith, when we have little faith. There at the end of verse 28, Jesus said, "Oh, men of little faith, why are you anxious? Why are you worried? Why do you wonder if you'll have enough? Why do you wonder if you'll run out? Why do you worry? Oh, men of little faith." According to Jesus there, the essence of worry is the absence of trust. At the root cause of worry is the absence of faith. It's the absence or the littleness of faith. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. We trust Him for heaven. Get this. We trust Him for heaven. But we're not sure we can trust Him for the next hour or the next day or the next month. Someone said, we're confident of the sweet by and by, but we're terrified by the nasty now and now. When we worry, we have stopped relying on God's promises to care for us. That's a lack of faith. We forget that He is sovereign. We forget that He is gracious. We forget that He is good. We forget that He is wise. He knows exactly what we need. He knows what's best for us. He knows when we need it and how much we need. And Jesus says, oh, men of little faith. You know, you find that expression other places in the Gospels directed towards Jesus' disciples. You'll remember the one in Matthew chapter 14 when Jesus came walking to them. They're out on the Sea of Galilee and the disciples are trying to row across the sea and they see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter recognizes Him and he says, Lord, bid me to come to You. And Jesus said to Peter, come. Jesus climbed out of the boat. That's pretty good faith. Peter climbed over the side onto the water and he began walking to Jesus. But then it says when Peter saw the waves and saw the billows, what? He began to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord. Lord, save me! And Jesus came over and took him by the hand and, oh, why did you doubt? You little faith man, why did you doubt? Took his eyes off Christ. Began to look at his circumstances, the situation. Another time, Matthew 8, verse 23, thereabouts, they're out in a boat again. This time Jesus is in the boat with them. He's asleep on the cushion. There's a storm. The disciples are absolutely terrified. They awaken the Creator of the universe. They think that they're all going down, including Him. He created it all. Jesus says, why are you timid? You men of little faith. Jesus says here, why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry if you're going to have enough? Why do you worry about clothing? Why do you worry about shelter? Why? Worry is an indicator that our faith is weak, that our faith is shallow. We're focused on the waves. We're focused on the storm. We're focused on the circumstances rather than on our Lord and Savior. We need to grow in our faith. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing. That's how faith grows. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You know, beloved, have you found this? That as you encounter trials in your life, as you encounter trials in your life and situations that cause you to worry and fret and become anxious, but as you go through that trial, maybe stumbling and with weak faith, but God brings you through it. God brings you through it. And you know what happens in that? You grow. Because the purpose of trials is to strengthen our faith. Romans 5:3, we rejoice in trouble, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It produces endurance, and endurance then produces proven character. So you go through that trial, and you're anxious, and you're nervous, and you're fearful, but God brings you through it, and then sometime later, you go through another situation, which is even more serious, but you find out, I'm not as anxious. I'm not as worried. I'm not as fearful. Why? Because God has been strengthening your faith. Because God has brought you through and your faith has grown. And as faith grows, worry and anxiety decreases. So when troubles come and threaten to undo us, whether it's illness, financial, work, relationship, the default position that we'll always default to in our flesh is worry and anxiety. We need to exercise faith. Put our faith in Christ. Put our faith in His Word. Grow in faith. The things that cause anxiety are opportunities to grow in faith. They're opportunities to trust God and find that He is able to accomplish that which concerns us. Psalm 138, verse 8. All right, we've looked at the causes of worry. Just three of them here, but they're pretty basic, aren't they? Now notice the cure for worry. The cure for worry. Verse 29 and following. What do we do when we worry? First thing we need to do is remember is this. Put first things first. Put first things first. Look at verse 29. Do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. Key word here in these verses is seek. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. Here it is. But seek. But, word of contrast. But seek His kingdom. And these things will be added to you. Put first things first. That's a great way to deal with worry. Get your focus on the stuff of this life and seek His kingdom. Seek His will. Seek His word. Don't make material stuff your focus. Look at verse 30. Jesus says the preoccupation with material things, with the stuff of this world, that's what characterizes unbelievers. That's what characterizes the nations of the world, those who don't know and love the Lord. The nations of the world eagerly seek stuff and to have enough and worry about it. It's what most people live for. Money, things, pleasure. But a Christian's life, beloved, we ought to have a radically different perspective and focus. Jesus says, seek for His kingdom. And these things will be added to you. They'll take care of themselves. Well, not that we don't work anymore and so on. But God will provide when you're seeking His kingdom. How do we seek His kingdom, you say? Well, what does this mean, seek His kingdom? It begins with knowing Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Jeremiah 29, 13, you shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, when you are born again through faith in the risen Savior, Christ becomes your Lord, you're under new management, and then you have a new desire to live for Him. You have a new desire to obey His will. You have a new desire. We don't do that perfectly, but the desire is there. And the grace is there. We're under new management. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10, 27. And notice Jesus says, seek His kingdom and these things will be added to you. What things? Our basic necessities, the basic needs of life, food, clothing, and shelter. Jesus says, seek Me. And I promise you, these things will be added to you. When you set your heart upon an eternal perspective, when you align your will with God's, when you will live according to His values and priorities, He will supply your needs. That's His promise. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. But it takes faith in this present evil age so bent on materialism and consumerism. It takes faith to seek the kingdom and walk by faith according to God's kingdom values. For example, a Christian employee, a Christian worker in a business, and is told by the boss, is told by the employer, we want you to cook the books a little bit. We want you to do some manipulating there. We've got to make this look better. We've got to kind of cover this up. some things have been going on. We need to make this look good. And what does a Christian employee do? What does the Christian employee do? He says, I can't do that. Well, then you're out of here. He's seeking the kingdom, you see. Seek the kingdom. And God says, "Don't. I will provide for you. When you seek me, when you seek my kingdom, I will provide for you." Another example, a man or a woman, a young man, young woman, older man, older woman, called to the mission field, called to vocational Christian service. Probably going to mean they're going to have to give up stuff that the world would consider desirable. Perks, financial security, many other material things. But Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God. And these things will be added to you. These things will be provided. I always think of Cammie's dad, one of my mentors, great model for me, Pastor Ken. Many of you remember Pastor Ken. He left his denomination years ago because of its drift, its doctrinal drift. And many of his peers, men who loved God, but they compromised, I believe. And they said, but if we leave the denomination, we'll forfeit our pension. We'll forfeit all these perks. I'm not sure they all knew the Lord, but some did. But Ken said, though none go with me, I still will follow. Uprooted the family, moved out to the West Coast. Seeking the kingdom of God, if you will. And the Lord provided, even though in the end it was a nursing home, God provided. God provided. That's His word. Seek His kingdom. I'll provide. And when you do that, you find that worry and anxiety tends to melt. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. Second cure for worry. Rest in your Heavenly Father's care. We've already seen that, but Jesus repeats it. Rest in your Heavenly Father's care. There at the end of verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. If God cares for the birds, if He cares for the flowers, surely He will care for you and me. The better we know our Heavenly Father, the less anxious and the less worried we will be. The more we understand His care, the more we understand His character, the less we'll worry, the less anxious we'll be. We've got to get to know our God better. And then look at verse 32. I love this. Do not be afraid, little flock. Isn't that great? Jesus looked at this little ragtag band of disciples and He said, do not be afraid, little flock. You know, the world may look at you and me, beloved, and think we're somehow odd ducks, we're weird, we're fools, whatever. And Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And notice, not will give you, He has chosen to give. It's already done. It's already done. It's as good as done. Those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ are already enjoying the spiritual blessings and riches of the kingdom of God. Because of that, Jesus says, don't be afraid, don't fear. The things will be provided for you. If He's given you the kingdom, He that spared not His own Son, Romans 8:32, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? It's unthinkable that He wouldn't supply what we need. Trust in your Heavenly Father's care. Third cure for worry is be generous with what you have. Be generous with what you have. Verse 33, sell your possessions, give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be generous with what you have. Jesus doesn't just say don't worry about your needs. He kind of takes it to the next level. He says don't worry about having enough. He says give. 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 Give generously. Give away what you have. Give to charity. Your translation may say, give to the poor, give to the needy. That's the idea of that word charity there. Those in need. Jesus, by the way, is not saying that no Christian should own anything or that we should all walk around as paupers. But he says, sell. Sell your possessions. And some he calls to do that. Lock, stock, and barrel. I think of William Borden, young man in the missionary annals of the church. William Borden, heir to the great Borden dairy fortune. Turned away from it. Went to the mission field. God calls some to do that. But for all of us, it means to loosen our grip on material things, to be generous, to invest in the needy, to invest in the orphans, to invest in missions, to invest in the things of the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to charity. Remember Zacchaeus? He got saved. Luke 19, verse 8. And after he was saved, what did he say? Lord, one half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'll give them four times as much. And Jesus found so much pleasure in that. You can almost see Jesus smiling. Today, salvation has come to this house. He says, Lord, half of my goods I give away. Rather than hoarding it, he became a giver. Jesus says to give like that is storing up treasure in heaven where purses don't wear out, where money bags don't have holes in them, where no thief can steal or moth destroy. That's the real First Security Bank, the Bank of Heaven. Jesus said you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And the question for me, the question for you is, are we transferring our wealth to heaven? Are we transferring our wealth to heaven? Are you giving to the work of missions? Are you giving to the work of the church? Are you giving to the poor? Are you giving to the needs of the orphans? The work, those who are working among the refugees for the sake of the gospel. We need to be giving. Jesus says in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure will follow your heart. You will give to the things that you love. You will invest in the things that you love. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. But the reverse is true. Not only will your treasure follow your heart, but your heart will follow your treasure. If you were to buy stocks in General Motors, buy some shares of stock, you would become very interested in GM all of a sudden and how it's doing. And when you invest in the things of the kingdom, your heart is going to follow that. Where your treasure is, what you invest in, your heart will follow that. Your heart will always follow your money. Your money will always follow your heart. Dear ones, are you anxious this morning? Are you worried? Where is your focus? Have you forgotten? Have I forgotten our Heavenly Father's care? He's joyously chosen to give us the kingdom. Get into His Word. Grow in faith. Be generous. It's God's way to deal with worry. It's God's way to deal with worry. Put first things first. Rest in His care. Be generous. God help us. Amen. Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts this morning. If Jesus were here bodily among us today, we're convinced these same words would come out of His mouth to us. Father, perhaps even stronger words of rebuke. We who are so prosperous, and yet we tend to so much anxiety. So, Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, to help us as we go forward, to make decisions, to make investments that are going to honor You, that are going to please You. And, Lord, grow us in faith that these worries and anxieties will become less and less of an issue in our hearts and lives. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.